Yud Aleph Adar, Tzom Tanis Esther Mukdam, Thursday the 9th of March, Rabbi Menachem Horowitz, is a Zeichel Chorban necessary on Purim? A weighty question.
I would like to thank, first of all, Dudi Iskovich. I am setting this whole thing up. The fact is, I am what they would call severely technologically impaired. So, trying to have a discussion about what day and what I'm going to talk about with a 12-hour layover is certainly a big challenge. I appreciate his patience. The fact is that the subject was a big discussion. It should be halacha, it should be musar. So I always tend to lead towards musar. So even though I'm basing this roughly on halacha, it's going to go over to the musar probably more. So I apologize if there's a shtickle genevas das. It's certainly no more genevas das than the fact that pictures a red tie and I wore a blue tie. Yeah. So I found out that was a fashion fandango. Anyway, I would like to open up b'choloy for something which I was not planning on talking about, because it is Tainus Esther. So I think it's just interesting to mention a few little nakudas about Tainus Esther. I've never understood why we call Tainus Esther Tainus Esther.
Yes.
Because it's not Tainus Esther. When the Tainus, actually Tainus was Esther decree, the 3 days, when was that? That was in Pesach. So what are we doing now on Erev Purim? So the Mepharshim explained that it's really a zecher for the fast they made before they went to war. Now, even though it doesn't necessarily say that explicitly in the Megillah, that they fasted before they went to war, but we learn it out from the very first war against the Amalek in the end of Parshas B'Shalach, that Moshe went up to the hill and he was fasting. So every time when Jews go to war, we fast first. So Mela, they fasted on Erev Purim, so we fast as a zecher for that. Now, halachically speaking, it's a very lenient fast, because it's not one of the four tzoymes that Chazal were goyzer. It's only a minhag, and especially when it's a mukdam, it's very, very, very lenient. Because it's only minhag and it's mukdam, and then many people, even if it's the slightest mechush, already won't fast. I'm not asking anything. So, but why is the Tainus Esther? I don't have the answer to that question. But there's a few nekudas which is interesting about an early Tainus Esther. First of all, Tainus Esther is Yuda Aleph Adar. The Yuda Aleph Adar is interesting because that's the first day of the Mukofin. I mean, not the Mukofin, the first day of the Kfarim. That's Kfarim, I had whacked in the Chris McGillis, third year Aleph. So it's not a question. I was curious when they did Tainus Esther, but that's not for now. Yeah. It's interesting that Yud Aleph is the gematria of Hey Vov, which is the last two letters of the Shem Hashem, which were erased by Amalek. When Amalek fought, it's Yod Al Kes Ka, Yud K. So that was the half of the Shem, and the second half of the Shem is Hey Vov. So Yud Aleph is the beginning, really, of the Mechias Amalek. Okay, a little tidbits. But what I find is most interesting, there's a minhag we have on Tainus Esther, which is to give at Mincha on the Tainus three chatzai shkolim. Yeah, three chatzai shkolim. It has the three half pieces of the current currency. Those who are flying to America today or flying to Israel or anywhere else, you cannot give your half pound pieces in New York or in Jerusalem. You have to be half shekels or half dollars. But what's the reason for this minhag? So the reason everyone brings down is because zeichel lemechitzas shekel. Very nice, very clever. In fact, that's the reason why we bring three coins, because in the parasha at the beginning of Kashas Kisisa, it mentions the word truma three times. Very nice. But it's bizarre, because wouldn't you expect us to do that Erev at Zei Shabbos Shkoli? What's the connection that we do it exactly on Erev Purim? It's a very bizarre, bizarre phenomenon. So the fact is, the real Makor of the Minha comes from Masechah Seferim. That's what the Mordechai brings, Masechah Seferim. And the Masechah Seferim asks the question, why in the Mishnah it says, Meshmin al Shkolim Borosh Chodesh Adar, why in Adar? So it's a funny question, right? Because we all know, because you have to bring the new Korbanos, have to come for the new money, Borosh Chodesh Nisan, and I know, I run a shul, you know, the money never comes in on time. So if you start a month early, you're lucky if you get it 6 months late. But B'chol Oifin, what's going on here? So he says, Osir, the Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that Osir Haman was going to give his 10,000 shekels to try and buy off the Jewish people from Achashverosh. So Hashem gave us our mitzvah shkolim that we should make the mar shkolim the hishkolim. Fine, very nice. So there's an element of the giving the shkolim which is very much connected to Haman and the Nesef Purim. But the funny thing is that the Maseches Sefer continues says, and therefore we are very careful to give our shkolim before Shabbos Zohar. And that I never heard before now. Now the Darche Moshe brings this, but he says the minhag is not like that. No, it's not like that. But this year, we're zeichevli at Ara to Mekayim, also that minhag. You can give a poor Parshas Zohar. Now, what is the point that we would say given the Chatzis Shkolim comes before Parshas Zohar? So obviously we see that the giving of the Shkolim is very much a prelude to the Mechias of Amalek. The Maharal explains that the reason why we are giving our Shkolim preempted Haman's Shkolim is Haman was trying to buy us off Achashverosh. Now that only applies when we're shaykh to this world. But when we gave our Shkolim, we bought ourselves out of this world, we became immune from the power of Haman, we became immune from the power of Malek. So it's a necessary prelude to wipe out Malek to give our Shkolim. That puts us into a frame of existence where we can actually combat Amalek. Now, so the Shaila is, of course, nowadays, we give it an Erev Pesach. So what's the Pshat for Ramah? So there's a third reason given. There's a third reason given why we give the Chatzai Shkolim on the Tainis Dafka, because we know that the main Schar of the Tainis is Tzedakah. In fact, there's a sheet that you have to give on top of the three Chatzai Shkolim that you have to give also another Chatzai Shekel just for Tzedakah. We also don't paskin like that. Fine. Oh, so what's the machlokas? So the Rama could hold that we give it on the tainus because of the ikar scharas of the tainus. But I think there's another reason, which is the machlokas, which when is the ikar zecher of mechias amalek? Is it on parsha zochar, or is it the mikra megillah? And I think that the Rama will hold the ikar mechias amalek is in the mikra megillah, and that would explain a very interesting magen of Rome, who says that you actually give the chetzi shekel in shachris before the megillah sester. We don't pass like that also, but it's very interesting. But we know that the Ikar Mikra Megillah is by Shachris. So it could be that's the real, real Mechias HaMolech. Now the question is, why would the Mikra Megillah be connected all to Mechias HaMolech? So that we'll get to in a while. So the actual subject matter which is publicized is like this. We know that in Tav Kuf Samich, there's a number of things which the Shulchan Aruch mentioned in Zechel HaChorban. Now, this is not a very popular siman in the Shulchan Aruch. I once had a friend, an English friend, he grew up in the area around here, who went, he was invited to America for Chasna. We were Chavusas at the time. He went to the Five Towns. You've heard of the Five Towns? No. Yeah, yeah. I've heard of it, never been there.
I've been there.
Oh.
So
he came back from this Chasna, and I said, so how was it? And he said, well, my hosts were amazing. You know, they came to me. They were so generous. They gave me car keys. They said, this is your car when you're here.
Wow.
Yeah? So I went, wow, that's amazing. But I could see he was concerned about something. So I started nudging him. And he's like, you know, I went into the place. And the lady of the house that showed me her rooms and her additions that she made and this and that. And I could see she was so excited about her house. And I just couldn't identify. I was uncomfortable. How could a person be so occupied with their house? So I told him, I said to him, ah, now you know. Every American you meet either is living like that, has no longer wants to live like that, is pretending he doesn't want to live like that. But that's part of the American mentality, because my house, my money. Now in England, Baruch Hashem, I think it's better. I think they haven't been. I remember once a long time ago, Rav Bulman's atzal. I heard him giving a speech. He'd come back from a trip. If you, any of you know who Nachman Bulman was, he'd spoken in England and he'd spoken in America. And he said a statement that in America, you know, the goyim, they aren't that goyish, but the yidden, they're also not that Jewish. He says, but in England, the Jews are Jews, and the goyim, they're goyim. So, I think the English have maintained a little bit more of a perspective, but Baha'u'llah, in today's world, it's very hard to relate to Zeichel Chorba, to think about what we're missing. We're very excited about our homes. The only thing we have left Kimat amongst the halachos, the lechad achorben is to take the amol amol. That's a scratch. I don't know how many people here in London do it. I haven't seen some houses yes, some houses no. Certainly in Israel, it's very, very common. But the music is already kind of out the door. No one really is careful of music anymore. There's other halachas. Yeah, there's one which is brought in Tuf Kuf Samach, which is that when you set the table, you're supposed to leave something out of the place setting. Now, in America, of course, we can't do it because there's no sense of manners at all. I notice in the English still have, you know, fish knives and this knives and all kinds of things like that. A lot of Mexican in America. Well, Hashem, no, but we don't have customs. Yeah, I apologize if I've construed any negative thing about America. I was only quoting Rav Bulman, and the rest was just. My family happens to be America. I'm from America. There's something to leave out of place setting. And that's what the Zechel Echorben. So, you have interesting of in Simen Tov Reish Tzadi Hei, in Hilchas Sudas Purim, you have the Shari Tshuva brings the Morvek Tzir, the Tzirak Yuvah Emden. Brings, and I'll quote this, he says that nearly she ain't tzorich lizoyer besudas purim. A person need not be careful during the sudas purim to make a zechel avelus Yerushalayim, to make any kind of reminder for the morning of Yerushalayim. Kevan, now check this out. This is very, very, very interesting. Bechayev lesumi ad lo yoda, because you have to get so drunk that you can't tell the difference between Haman and Mordechai. Or Baruch, Baruch Mordechai and Ar Haman. I don't even have to drink on Purim. Yeah, that is a bizarre statement. What is the connection to the fact that you're supposed to get inebriated on Purim to the fact that you don't have to live as Echel HaKorban? Now, once again, we're not noyeg this with the placements anyway, so it's not necessarily Halacha L'maisa, but theoretically it means that our whole approach to life, which is we're always supposed to be carrying the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash with us, our whole approach to life is different during the Sudas Purim. Because we're drunk? Because if we're drunk, it doesn't make much sense. Yeah? That's the question on the table. Now I'm going to bring a few Gemaras, which are all a little bit interesting, and I think together, when putting a look at them all together, we begin to get some sort of approach to this. First of all, we have the Gemara Megillah Daf Yudalid, which learns the fact we learn the Mikra Megillah, we read the Mikra Megillah from a Kal Vachomer. It says, if on Pesach where we were redeemed from slavery to freedom, we sing Shira. On Purim that we were redeemed from death to life, how much more so we should sing Shira. What's the Shira? Rashi is the Shira, Shira Sayam. The Gemara asked the question, if so, then we should sing Hallel also on Purim, says the Gemara. Yeah, it says, Kriosa zu halilo. The reading of the Megillah, that's the Hallel on Purim. So everyone knows this Gemara, but it's a very bizarre Gemara. What on earth, how would you ever think to associate Mikra Megillah with the Kriosa Hallel? I mean, Hallel is singing, and so it's a very different, it's not telling a story. So that by itself is very bizarre. The fact, forget that, how did the Gemara even presume at the beginning that Mikra Megillah is called a Shira, that you can learn a Kal Vachomer from Shira Sayom? So obviously we don't understand exactly what a Shira is, and probably don't understand exactly what Mikra Megillah is. That's question number one. Gemara number two. The Megillah in Maseches Megillah Daf Vav Amud Beis also brings a Machlekes in an Iberior. Yeah, when you have two Adars, which year do you read Mikra Megillah? And which month? Right, so it's a Machlekes. It's a Machlekes Tanoim, which one you read it in. So the first one reads it in, if the first per Mandar Mold, you read it in the other Aleph, why is that? So Lashon HaGemara is Ein Mavir in Ala Mitzvahs. Oh, so it's a little bizarre though, because Ein Mavir in Ala Mitzvahs is when you actually come to a mitzvah at your hand and you have the choice to do it or not do it, you're not allowed to leave it and go be Isaac in something else. But when Avishai, when Chazal are going to Mitakin to read the Megillah, It's very bizarre why she mavrin la mitzvahs. That's the chassam sofer asked the question. I'll leave that for now. I'll keep my eye on the clock. But that's the first mandomer. The second mandomer says, it's true that in mavrin la mitzvahs, but in this case, it's better to put it on our base, because mismach ge'ula la ge'ula adif. That we should put the two ge'ulas, the ge'ula of Purim and the ge'ula of Pesach, next to each other. It's preferable. It even trumps ein mavrin la mitzvahs, or is reason magdivin la mitzvahs. And once again, so that's an interesting question. Most people, when we read it, we don't think very much. We think, okay, it's very nice. You know, ge'ula, ge'ula. It's like house cleaning. It's better to put all my all the Pesach dishes in the same cabinet. But there's obviously something deeper, a deeper connection between Purim and Pesach, which this season unites them into one thing, which means that you're doing the mitzvah of Purim better when you do the Mikra Megillah in proximity to Pesach. Okay. Now number three, Psochim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, has a discussion where we learn Hallel from. Where do we learn Hallel from? So Rabbi Yezi, in the name of Rabbi Lazar Benoi, says that we learn the Hallel already said, the Yidden already said Hallel in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Gemara says, and this is an amazing line, he says, of course they said they had it all at the beginning. It says, Evshar Yisrael Shachtu Es Pischem, V'Natul Lovei V'Loi Amru Shiro. Could it be that the Yidden, Shechtel Kom Pesach, they took their lulav, and they didn't say Shira? Now, I don't know, it reminds me, there's a joke, it's a very joke. I remember hearing a joke as a kid, you know, how do you know that Yankov Avinu wore a kippah? Yeah, famous joke. Because it says, well, Yetzer Yankov, would Yankov go out without a couple? Right? Of course, how do we know that they said Hallel when they were in Mitzrayim? Because could it be they shechted the Korban Pesach and they didn't say Hallel? Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if Chazal weren't retakun, they didn't have to say it. It's a circular reasoning. It doesn't make any sense. So it must be that there is something which is logically compelling about the experience of a Korban Pesach which demands the response of Shira. That's what we see. This is a very, very deep idea. That there's a natural response and an inevitable response to the experience of Korban Pesach, which creates a response of Shira, and therefore it was logically impossible that the Yidden would have gone through Yetzias Mitzrayim and not said Hallel, not offered the Pesach without saying Hallel. Now, what the Korban Pesach does represent, of course, is the Kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the Or Sameach always, the Meshech Chochmah brings down that whenever we find that Klal Yisrael had fallen off the derech and done a lot of avodah zarah, the first thing they did when they got back in shape was to bring a Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach definitely represents a Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. He skipped over all the Egyptian, all the Jewish houses and killed all the Egyptian firstborn. It is an extraordinary representation of the closeness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when a Yid feels the closeness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, obvious response, and the only response is Shira, right? We find that that's actually Chizkiyahu HaMelech wasn't Mashiach because when he was saved, he didn't break out into Shira, the Gemara says. He would have been Mashiach, but because he didn't break out into Shira, he wasn't Zoyche. Because there's something not wired correctly, if I can talk about Chizkiyahu that way, but from a certain perspective, there's something not wired correctly, and therefore he wasn't Zoyche the Mashiach. Now, what is the nature of Shira? What is the nature of Shira? We can try and put some connection to this. What is the nature of Shira? So, Ruchaim Friedlander actually says a very nice idea. Shira, what is a song? So if you take any given note, any given tone, it has no meaning. It's just a tone. It has no context. But when you put a bunch of notes, one after the other, so then all of a sudden, you have something which is beautiful, and every note now serves a purpose, and within the larger context, you can perceive every single note, how it was functioning when it came. It's true, it was meaningless at the time, if you would just see it independently, but when you see the larger whole, everything becomes beautiful, becomes meaningful. That is what Shira is. The closest of Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is the recognition that everything that is happening to us is be'etzin for our good, right? The recognition afterwards, but looking at the larger picture, that every individual event, even though it might have seemed pointless at the time, was part of a larger picture, was serving to bring us to a better place. So that's why Shiro is a direct response to salvation. Shiro is a direct response to the closest to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why Shiro was a response to Luv, and that's why Shiro was in the base, Shiro was already in Tzivos Yisrael. Now we know very clearly that that's the point of the Mikra Megillah, that's the point of Hallel. Because Hallel very much talks about in the very beginning, Mimizach Hashem is Mavoya, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shem Hashem Mavoya, that Shem Hashem is blessed and known from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. So the Malbim already explains that you have a machlekes between the Goyim and between the Yidden, that the Goyim say, there's just nature. Hashem, even if he created the world, he disappeared, and he doesn't affect in the world anymore. But in Hallel, the Tehillim is talking about that even the minute the sun rises to the minute the sun sets, Hashem is involved in every single aspect of the creation, right? He brings up the downtrodden, and he brings down the mighty. I was just on Monday in Manchester, and I was by the Shmuel Goldberg, Mashkir Dan Shari Torah, and he told me that that's his pshat in the Gemara, in the when it says the Kriyas Zoh Halilo, is that the whole point of the Halil is to emphasize that the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha is in the entire Welt, everything we do, and that's exactly against what Amalek stands for, because you look at the Netziv, he sent me to the Netziv, and then the Pasuk B'Shalach, that's what the Amalek was trying to do, was to interject the idea that the world just runs according to nature, and it's very... And there's no control over it, right? Which is all that the Megillah is all about. Even Achashverosh at the end. This is an amazing, amazing idea. Even Achashverosh, in the end, when Mordechai and Esther come to him and say, "We need you to help the Yidden and undo the decree," and he says, "I can't. I already sent out a letter." Now, do you ever think about how crazy this is? I sent out a letter. We're talking about millions of people being killed. I can't. I sent out a letter. I'm just doing orders. What's going on? What is going on? I don't know. He's the king. Even with the Malbim and this, and they created all kinds of new legislative ideas, but it's not normal. The word is that that's Amalek. Even the Achashverosh, maybe it wasn't, but that's Amalek. That we've got the rules, and the rules go, and there's no, you can't get around them, and God's not involved anymore. That's what the whole mind frame of Amalek, Achashverosh, of Haman was all about. So Hallel is coming to exclude that false perception of the universe. And Memele, we know that Mikra Megillah is the same thing. Mikra Megillah is all about making Seder out of seemingly meaningless events. So the Mikra Megillah is itself serving the exact same purpose of Shira, because it's coming to help us internalize the perception that even things that we see don't make any sense, that they all have meaning. So that's why it is Mikra Megillah. Okay, now we're almost getting back to the very beginning. Our question was once again, just to remind you, why it would be that the fact that we're supposed to get drunk ad l'yoda is as a reason to take away the need for any kind of zecher l'chorban the Seudas Purim. So what we've explained until now is that the Hallel, the Mikra Megillah's main purpose, it serves the same purpose as a song, which is namely to emphasize that even things which are meaningless events and meaningless happenings were in fact part of a larger productive picture which is helpful for us. Now, that is, however, a lower way of perception. Retroactively understanding, oh, now I see that this was good for me, is a very high level, but it's a lower level. The highest level, of course, is at the time that the things are happening that seem meaningless, one was able to get oneself above his now perspective and perceive that they are actually good things and they are things which are building us. That's a higher level. I'll give an example of this. I'll ask a question that probably I don't know if anyone has heard of. This is from Rav Daniel Belsky, the Rosh Kollel of the Kollel, which I learned in the afternoons. He asked an amazing, amazing, amazing teher, which is, we know that in Tu B'Av, many good things happen to Klal Yisrael. It's one of the happiest days. The Mishnah in Taina says, Lo Yu Yom Yom Tov Yisrael, Ki Tu B'Av Yom Kippurim. And one of the things that happened in Tu B'Av was that Chozer Hadibo L'Meishek. For 38 years, 39 years, he hadn't had proper communication with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Tu B'Av, Dibor came back to him. That's very nice. But let me ask you a question. On Rosh Chodesh Av of that year, do you know what happened on Rosh Chodesh Av of that year? It's not a trick question. It's a posik. Yeah? I didn't know. I mean, to be fair. Aaron HaKohen died. Now, the posik tells us that for 30 days, all of Klal Yisrael was crying and mourning over Aaron HaKohen. So that means it was in the middle of the intense avelis for Aaron HaKohen that Moshe Rabbeinu had Nevuah return to him. Now we know that Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh can all be shayr v'tach simcha. So a person who is not v'simcha, how can he positively be zeichet to the Ruach HaKodesh and love of Moshe Rabbeinu? I think it's a pretty compelling question. So the answer is like this. That Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he saw when Aaron HaKohen died as enormous chorban, for Klal Yisrael, for himself personally, but he understood that in order for Klal Yisrael to go forward, to come into Eretz Yisrael, both Aaron and he had to die. So most people, when something bad happens to them, get only totally overwhelmed by their own personal tragedy and their difficulty, and afterwards, when everything works out, then they're all back at home, and they're like, oh, I see, it was good for me that I missed my taxi, and But Moshe Rabbeinu, in his level, was able to perceive, at the time of his tragedy, that I'm not being destroyed, I'm being built. Klal Yisrael is being built. And that's the highest level of perception that we can hope to achieve in this world. That in real time, we recognize that things that have meaning. So back to the original question. The Yosef Lekach tells us that the reason why we're attacking to get drunk on Purim, because after the revelation of the closeness that we had in the Nais of Esther, Megillas Esther, yeah, it wasn't fitting for us to be consumed with the Avelis HaKorban. So they metakin to be drunk to remove us from that status of Avelis on the Korban, because that was the only proper response to the expression of Kirvas Hashem, which we had in the Nais of Purim. So the point is that the mitzvah of the Chazal gives us to get drunk, and that's a very important Havana to have on Purim. The mitzvah that a Chazal gives us to get drunk is to help elevate us to a level where we are able to perceive in everything that's going around us only the binyan. And we ourselves can feel b'chush that even the Chorban HaBayis was a binyan. And at such an elevated, lofty, elevated state, which is only possible perhaps with inebriation and maybe only once a year, but at that point it is not appropriate anymore to have a zecher l'chorban. Because at that point, a zecher l'chorban, why are you focusing on the Chorban? It's all binyan when you're at such a level. And that's one of the reasons, really, it's why you can't do this Aror Mahaman and Baruch Mordechai also, because the fact is, there's no difference as far as the larger divine plan is concerned. Fine. So, I think I'm at the end of my time. So, my tefillah is that we should be zeiche not to need zeiche l'chorban during the rest of the year. Enormous spiritual levels in Purim and see Yeshuas.
Amen.